plan? Or is it a state of mind? Never forget!
You're listening to Jackie Patru and Sweet Liberty. And now, here's your host, Jackie Patru.
Song. Today, thank you for joining us tonight on Sweet Liberty. And Alan, I guess Grandfather is on time, yes?
Right there. Yeah.
Well, it was 10 o'clock, right on the old nose. Today is Wednesday, and it is the 10th of May in the year 2006. I can't believe May's half over, Alan.
I know.
I want to share a spiritual message here. I've done this one before. Fear of the will of God is one of the strangest beliefs the human mind has ever made. And we'll change the word God to Creator. Fear of the will of Creator is one of the strangest beliefs the human mind has ever made. So thank you for being here tonight, Alan.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah, well, I almost missed getting online on time, folks, because I was just having a little chit-chat with Alan. I get into my idle chatter. I think that would be a very appropriate word, wouldn't it, Alan?
Oh, yeah.
Idle chatter.
That's it.
And Alan said, it's 9 o'clock. You better call in. I hope you've had a nice day. We've been having beautiful weather here, folks. I watched Alan has two new videos on his website at cuttingthroughthematrix.com. And when we've talked in the past, he talks about the spraying there. Alan, how far from the Canadian border, the southern Canadian border, how far north are you?
Oh, probably a few hundred miles.
Yeah, five?
Oh, yeah.
Better?
So, probably a little more, yeah.
You're way out.
Mm-hmm.
You're way out.
Yeah.
You must be in a stream there where they want that to carry to?
It is a stream. It comes up through Michigan, the jet stream, and it loops just about where I am.
Oh, gosh.
Right down to the state. Yeah.
Well, you know, you've told me in the past when you talk about the spraying, and you talk about it often,
yeah.
And they do spray here. But remember, I've said, well, the way you're describing it, we don't get it like that. And you described it as mush,
yeah.
that the sky just gets filled with, like, mush.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw the video, and folks, if you haven't seen it, you certainly, definitely will want to watch it. The first one Alan did is called Reality Check, if we have any new listeners. And if you haven't watched that one, you will want to do it. And then and then watch the casual conversation in the woods, and then the last one. I've watched that twice now, and when you called earlier this evening, it, as I told you, I was watching it again, Alan.
Uh-huh.
Peeping through the clouds, folks, and the one I'm discussing right now, they were taking videos of the spraying, the chemtrails, and it's just, Alan, it's everything and more that you said it was.
Yeah, it's staggering. Yeah,
thank you, staggering.
Yeah, because really what they're doing is, around the Michigan area, because it comes up through Ontario, they use it to spray heavily there to carry a long distance. And at the top of the loop where I am, they spray heavily here, because then it takes it down through eastern Ontario and down into Buffalo, New York area. So they're really covering a vast area with it. That's why they spray in these two areas.
Spraying where you're at.
Yeah.
It's pretty much overhead, isn't it?
Yeah, very often. Sometimes I've noticed if just by the feedback you get from people, if too many people are noticing it, they'll start spraying off outside of the cities to the west.
But you're not near a city.
No, it's one to the north there. But people in the cities, I've noticed the clouds will trail over them, and it means that they're using the westerly wind to bring it over the cities. They're being very sneaky about it. In other words.
Didn't look real sneaky to me.
And then at sunset, too, you'll see a lot of them beginning to spray into the sun where it's hard to look.
They do, yes, they do. And that's a lot of times when the sun is setting, and if they're spraying just over the setting sun,
yeah,
you can see the black underneath the clouds.
Yeah, in fact, sometimes you can see it coming through a cloud, a normal cloud. You'll see the straight line of the trail, and it's darker because of the metallic particles in it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not supposed to notice. We're not supposed to even know about this.
Right. Well,
that's so audacious.
I want to make it clear too that the entire video that we're discussing is not about the chemtrails. It's the beginning of the video, but once again, you do a dialogue.
Uh-huh.
As the thoughts roll,
mm-hmm.
and go back into ancient history,
yeah,
and just bring it up to today, to what they're doing today. One of the things that I caught when you said, you know, all the laws, you mentioned specifically at one point crime prevention,
mm-hmm.
and you said how can they prevent crime? Because they've said themselves that anyone is capable of committing a crime.
Right.
Well, and you know what it reminded me of? Well, remember Ayn Rand's Atlas Shrugged?
Yeah.
Ha ha. It's because they've made everything a crime.
They've made everything a crime, and it's that was how the Soviet Union worked, in fact. When they wanted to arrest someone, a citizen, for political purposes...
They made what that person did a crime?
Well, no, what they could do is just watch them throughout the day, because you'd break so many crimes just going to work.
Oh, gosh.
That they could pick you up on anything. And if
yes.
they didn't want you, they'd let you go, you see.
Yes.
And that's why they've got so many laws on the books.
Another thing that you said that really hit home or struck me when you talked about the fact that they control the legal system,
mm-hmm.
and the illegal system.
That's right, above and below.
They control the criminal element, too.
Yes.
The mafia.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All sides of everything, that's how total the system is. And they use both of them. It's true enough to govern in a totalitarian way, you can't have one without the other. They need to create the crime, to create the police force, to watch the people on the prelude of stopping crime.
Mm-hmm.
So they need each other, you see. And then to satisfy the citizens sometimes, they'll make a strong drug raid and show the public what they're doing. But if they don't tell you about all the legal stuff that's shooting through in the meantime, while this PR stuff's going on, so they control both sides of it.
Well, they certainly are worth watching. All of them, and actually every time you listen. And you know, I was thinking that tonight, because I actually, this last time through, and I'm only about, I don't know, maybe 12, 14 minutes into it again. But as I was listening, the questions keep coming to my mind. And I thought tonight, if I had written my questions down, we'd need 3 hours, Alan. And I thought, you know, we have to, you and I, besides on-air conversations, we have to have had hundreds of hours of conversations. And there are still times you'll say something that'll explode questions in my mind that lead from one thing to another to another. And you know, one of the questions I did write down, this was later on in the thing where you said it, where you talked about, and maybe you don't want to do what you did on the thing, but just in this one instance on the video, when you talked about the aristocracy or the elite, how they, the priesthood, and you said they refer to themselves as a priesthood, right?
Yeah.
And they wanted to perfect humanity.
Yeah.
Because, quote, God didn't do a good enough job.
That's right.
Well, okay, the word God, Alan, I wonder if it's on purpose that the word God backwards spells dog.
Oh, that's right. That's what the dog priests used to be called. The god is dog, dog priest. Yeah.
Well, so...
That's why they wear dog collars. They call them dog collars.
So when they say they don't believe that God finished it, who are they talking about?
What they're talking about really is that in their own inner religion, they have this thing called progress. That's part of their plan. It's called progress. And what they claim is because they are rebels and they do everything through revolution. Now, most revolutions the public are generally unaware of, like the sexual revolution, the pop and rock revolutions, the feminist revolutions, most of them are bloodless, or fairly so. In other words, they're constantly changing society and upgrading it towards a destination, a pre-planned destination. And it's to really perfect that which they claim is left imperfect, which is basically the population of the planet.
But left imperfect by what and who?
Well, they talk about the one they rebelled against.
Would that be Creator, or they talk that?
It's something to do with that. They're never specific, but you always get through the hints.
Okay.
I'm pretty certain that all holy books that mention this are put out by them from the beginning. And that they give us little clues, that they warp it a little bit and make us serve them, you know, in the process. But there's always these hints of somehow being imprisoned here. And that this is their world, therefore, through their own intellect, they will break out of this prison through science. And they wrote more about this in the 1500s than the 1700s.
They're imprisoned here?
Basically.
Is that what they say, Alan?
Yeah, and that's why they gave us a story of a fall of a deity and an army. You know.
Are we talking Lucifer here?
That's
oh, Lucifer, how you have fallen, da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah, and they say one-third fell with them, you know, this army.
One-third of the, what, spiritual beings?
Yeah, they claim about 2 million.
Oh, they actually have numbers.
Yeah.
Well, that's like you know, the Talmud claims to know the exact time and date that God created the universe.
That's right.
But because I don't know all of their codes and et cetera, that's why I was asking you this. When they say, well, they're perfecting what God left unfinished, or not perfectly finished.
Imperfect,
yes. Are they referring to Lucifer?
They're referring to the people that were basically here. The natural people.
But who do they think created the natural people?
They still believe there's a creator.
They what?
They still believe that there's a creator there.
Okay.
That they rebelled against the same one.
In other words, they know that Lucifer is not creator.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But Lucifer is their god.
But they believe that Lucifer, and also themselves, and everyone who takes on the highest secret societies, or goes into them, believes that they themselves can attain that same power of godhood through pure will and intellect. They can achieve godhood and be the equivalent of that, you see. And so what they always claimed is that they could break out of the prison through science, through the use of science. And what they've been doing all this time is using the populations to work through their sciences.
And
forward.
Alan, when they break through, where do they think they're going?
Oh, probably forever, just going through the planets all over the place and sucking them dry, no doubt, and, you know, carrying on. There was a poem written back in the 1920s, I think, and it was along those lines that eventually they would leave the planet and leave the Earth spinning like a burned-out cinder in its wake as they went on to the next one, and the next one, and the next one. Under the guise of loving everything in nature and so on, it's nonsense. All these laws are passed to put us in a prison. And they can reproduce anything right now through cryogenics and genetic manipulation. They can reproduce anything on this planet. And they've even had programs on public broadcasting services about it. They've shown us these huge arcs where they have all the DNA of every living creature, plant and animal, and insect. And they admitted to that they can bring them out of cryogenics after many years and even use different hosts. The carriers to bring them to term. So these guys don't give a damn about nature. It's just to put us in a box that all these laws are passed.
Yeah, well, the prison that they have made, besides the fact that somehow they just own people's minds, mm-hmm. but of course it is said that the mind is the gateway to the soul.
Yeah.
Because they're imprisoning souls, aren't they, Alan?
Yeah.
Do you think?
The imprisoned souls, and they also use our wrong choices for their own benefit.
Our wrong choices. Good way to put it.
Because we tend to do their wars for them. We battle for them down through the ages. We actually kill and die to bring around an agenda. And once their agenda's over, then we will be pretty well wiped out. Because we only have a function to these people and nothing else.
Yes.
You know, but that's all we are, is a function.
Yes.
And the other thing is, too, you see, if we cannot master ourselves individually, then these people will master us for us.
Uh-huh.
And that's the other key to it. Because we're so willing to go off and slaughter at the drop of a hat. We don't even really need a good reason to do it. And young men, of course, full of hormones and tribal instincts, have been used forever for this purpose. They never recruit guys, you'll notice, 40 and up. Because they're too wise. But when you're 18...
Today they're not, though, Alan. And they are recruiting. Do you know, I have read that they have actually talked of upping the drafting age to 38.
They made exceptions for undertakers up to 59.
Uh-huh.
No. But for young guys who go off and do this stuff, all you need is bodies, really. You need bodies. And you need bodies that don't think they'll ever die. And men and women at 18 can't imagine death.
Right.
It's always going to be, it doesn't happen in the movies. The good guys always win. And the bad guys can never shoot straight. And if this game's been played down through the ages forever. They used to have dramas in the British Empire, traveling shows, where these plays were written about wars, either in Africa or somewhere, anywhere where the Empire was striking out. And they put these shows on, and they'd give cut rates for teenagers, teenage men, to get in. And it's all noble and it's all hero stuff and the good guy's always won and he always got his fair lady, and it's the kind of stuff they fed them for centuries. And they still do today. You take a young person at the bottom strata of society that has no almost no dignity at all. He's ignored by everyone. No power of any kind. Very little chance of getting ahead in life, as they call it. And you put a uniform on him, and suddenly your own country treats you as though you're a brand new being.
Yeah, right, the uniform.
You see, this has been used for thousands of years, the same technique. And these are sciences. They understand the science of the mind, and they know the sciences of the mind, and they know how it changes the older you get, so they can hit you at any age group according to whatever they want to hit you with to make you respond. And even advertising companies know these techniques very well, how to hit even children at 6 years old or five to nag their parents to do something, or teenagers to join up.
Mm-hmm.
So this is instant status and instant respect. And all you have to do is go wherever you're told to go and kill people. And they always dehumanize the enemy, of course. And now it is the same technique to be
dehumanize the enemy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that somebody that really, in fact, is not an enemy.
Yeah, and you take the double think of all this. The logic is like mathematics. The two and two must always add up to the same number. Now here you have a society where if you say any ethnic slur, you end up with a fine or prison or something, because you've got to get cooperation in society. People have to get along. But you put them in a uniform, and you have people from all ethnic groups in that one army, and then tell them to hate this other group over there. And it's okay to go off and kill them. See, so something's wrong here. This doublethink, this Orwellian doublethink. And if you kill someone in your own society, you end up on a murder charge. But if you go over and become a sniper and assassinate people at long range, you get medals for it. But what's wrong with this picture here? How come we're so easily manipulated? And well, the reason is through indoctrinated techniques and the perfect understanding of our minds. And the young teenagers, this is ancient science that's been used for thousands of years on how to get young people and train them to go off and kill and still teach them it's all right to do so.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And yet we like to call ourselves we're progressing in society to this fantastic utopia which they claim exists or will exist. And in every century that we go on, we slaughter more and more millions than the previous one. And they call this progress. There's something wrong here.
Well, of course there's something wrong.
Yeah.
But not for them. It's the perfect plan for them.
Yeah.
There's something wrong to somebody who's sane.
And yet at the same time, they use a flaw in humanity where we have either been gulled into believing the system is real and genuine with all of this double speak and double think, or else we have an inherent problem here where individually we mustn't let ourselves be conquered by these people who know how to use ourselves, our age, the tribal instincts to go off and slaughter other people, because we never benefit from it. The public never, in any country where it's conquered or the winners or whatever, you never win. Only a small group wins in this whole strategy here. It's like Henry Kissinger said in The Last Days, the book written by Woodward and Bernstein about the Vietnam War. When Kissinger was asked about the troops that were still there, and he says, what about them? He says, the troops are just dumb, stupid animals used for foreign policy. Now here is the monster telling you the truth.
Alan, where did he... Was that actually in an article? Were they quoting him?
It was in a book.
Okay, in a book. Okay, they said that this is what he said to them.
Yeah, he was talking to a bunch of reporters after the main interview, and they asked him that question, and that was his reply.
Wow.
And now he was telling the truth, because young people who are drilled, they're drilled. These are all mining technology, terminologies they use as well. It's Masonic, because the whole military system is Masonic. And you do square bashing on your square and all that kind of stuff. But, and your uniform, your one form, you stop being individuals and you become one. You act as one.
Uniform, uh-huh.
And so it's all Masonic, you see. And their symbols and rituals are actually Masonic. And they train you not to be an individual anymore. They give you a whole new set of values and tell you to obey instantly without thinking. Now, that's what all Masons are told. That when a superior gives you a command as a Mason, you will obey the order without question and put all moral reservations or judgments to the side. You will simply carry it. All of these things are Masonic. And people should question themselves why every army on the planet has the same types of uniform, the same types of drilling on the square and marching. And you go back to the ancient stelas of Egypt and Sumer even, and you look at the pharaohs there, and any of the statues, you always see the left foot forward because that's the beginning of the journey. By the left, quick
the
march.
The Masonic thing?
Yeah, by the left, quick march. This has been done for some.
Oh, yeah, and that's even when they count cadence.
Yeah.
Your left, right, left.
That's right. So this is an ancient science by ancient priesthoods that are understood and are right up to date, and we're still doing them yet because they'll never let go of science, which works, and they understand this perfectly. Yeah. And you have the same
thing. Do they actually think there's some kind of a power?
It's a symbol of their dominance.
Oh, a symbol of it, okay.
If you go to Luxor and you look at the temple or the pillars of Isis and Osiris, Isis is the mother. And it's not a person, it's their church. Collectively, it's their church. And they are Osiris, the body of the church. And an inscription for Isis, it says, I am Isis, I come from a perfect, wonderful egg. Nothing that exists about me.
I come from a what?
A
perfect egg.
Yeah.
Okay, and that, thank you for, that's where it comes from, because the Easter, Ishtar,
yeah,
is Isis, right?
Uh-huh.
Another name for Isis.
Right.
And I remember reading that's why we have Easter eggs.
That's right.
Because it really, Easter, the time when Easter is the celebration of the, what, creation of Ishtar, hatching out of her egg?
And what it means that all things within the world, that the physical system, come out of the mother. In other words, this high, high, high occultic church. That's what it means. They are the body. The members are the body. They are Osiris. They are the body, collectively, of the church, which is the mother. As allegories for their system. So Isis is everything in their system, which is basically everything. Yeah. And so everything in their system, which is orderly, and marching is orderly, you see, starts off with Isis by the left quick march.
Uh-huh. But I just...
Because the female is left, she is called Sinister.
She is called what?
Sinister.
Would you spell that?
Sinister.
Sinister.
Yeah.
The woman is sinister?
Yeah, and knights, you'll find Dexter is the right, and Sinister is the left. And that's why, because they don't like women, you see. The females are sinister.
Well, you know, you got talking one time like you didn't like women too well either. You were saying women were the cause of all the problems in this world.
No, what I've said is that they understand that through Eve.
Okay, well, you know what? Let's pick this up. I don't want you to get started and then we're going to get cut off.
Yeah.
We're going to be taking a break here. Right now. And folks, so remember what we're on here, Alan.
Yeah.
Okay, and we'll be back with you folks in just about 2 minutes with Alan Watt and Jackie Petru.
Years ahead of the dominant media, FirstAmendmentRadio.com. and FirstAmendmentRadio.net, around the world and on satellite. If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at FirstAmendmentRadio.com for only $45 a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25, or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You may do all of this online at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. You may also adopt an hour of your favorite program. Please don't forget that most of the programs on FirstAmendmentRadio.com are listener-supported. Don't do Internet? Then call 559-781-3773 and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Order online today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com or call 559-781-3773. Who will tell them if not you?
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased. It has been stolen. There's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, and regular guest, world-renowned economist Robert Chapman, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
Okay, Alan, we were talking about Ishtar, and then I mentioned that you had made a one time on the air, you sounded like one of them, not really, but that you that women were a source of the problems in this world.
No, they're not a source.
They
understood.
Are?
And because they're understood, the higher priesthood have always said that they will bring fruition to their plan through the female.
Okay.
And that's what the whole allegory of Eve is all about. It's the nature of the woman. Now, Caesar himself said that to take over a country, you put fear into the people. The women complain and want security. And then you offer them security, food, etc.
I see.
And they'll come to you. Now, Stalin did the same thing. So did Lenin.
So do you see that that's true in your own...
Oh, yeah. It's a natural thing. I watch it on the surveys on television. Even when there's things that the government actually wants done, they'll have these interviews on the street type of thing.
Uh-huh.
And they'll ask the women what they want. And the women always say there should be a law about this or there should be a law about that or whatever. And it's always what the government wants. So in other words, women naturally look for security, you see.
Uh-huh.
And Hitler did the same thing. He said all her propaganda must be aimed at the woman who wants food for herself, her family, peace and security. And he says, then we'll follow the children and then must follow the man. And he was basically quoting Caesar.
Uh-huh.
Because it's an ancient understood mechanism. And you'll notice today, well, even after 9/11, when they had... the surveys on the street, the usual thing. Would you give up your freedom for security? And the polls that came out here in Canada, reflecting the states, actually they're from the states, showed about 88 or 90% of women
said yes.
According to them, that they would give up freedom for security. So these are techniques which are understood. They know how to manipulate the male because of his nature. They know how to manipulate the female because of hers. And they also know how to manipulate the teenagers of both sexes, right down to the pre-puberty children.
Sure.
It's an art in every section.
Yes.
Yep.
And, you know, there has... I've got a report. I read this several years ago, and it was very frightening. It was a report on brain research.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, they were talking very technically about the synapses and how at birth, from birth to about 7 years old, they said that the synapses, it's like there's explosions going on in the child's brain. And then it... maybe 7 or age 9, I think it's well between there, that it slows down to more of a normal pace. Of course, there's always constant learning as we're growing, but think about those pathways that are being made in those babies' brains,
mm-hmm.
Alan.
Yeah,
and they know exactly what they're doing.
It's a road well traveled, you might say. That's what the pathways are. But if you... take these sciences that were understood in the days of the ancient Greeks and the Egyptians before them. Plato talked about this coming time even in his writings in the Republic. We talked about the creation of the perfect Republic with a dominant minority at top, with a guardian class, and then the strata of bureaucracy, and then the military class. And he said towards the end he would bring in the women into the military and who will fight alongside the men. Now that's 300
years
ago.
Yes, and here in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
there have already been, I believe, congressional debates on, you know, when they're talking about reinstituting the draft,
mm-hmm.
With the women. And there was a bill that didn't get passed here,
mm-hmm.
but the bill was, if it had been passed, any young child who goes to get a driver's license has to sign up for the draft,
yeah.
at the same time, or they don't get a driver's license,
mm-hmm.
and it said men and women. And then
yeah.
when a new version of it came out, it just said, I think it mentioned male, so there must have been a heck of an uproar at that time.
Uh-huh.
But you can see it coming, can't you?
It's coming, it's planned.
Yeah.
And they must have a military class where they'll inbreed the male and the female for a period of time, because this isn't forever, to make sure they breed the offspring in a military environment,
mm-hmm.
to take care of the people. This is all, again, old science.
And getting back to the crime thing,
mm-hmm.
it's a crime to drive without a state driver's license.
Uh-huh.
And yet, to use that as a tool to get young people to register for the draft,
what they'll want is the driving license. They'll want the car. They want to drive.
That's right.
Yeah.
The new bill had a thing at the bottom of it, and I don't know if that passed, Alan, but there was a box that you could check at the bottom,
yeah.
that said, do you want to use this as, you know, your application as registration of the draft, yes or no? And it said that the draft, you have to register at such and such an age anyway, because it is the law. It isn't the law.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't a law, because here in the U.S., the draft registration, quote, law, I forget what title, maybe Title 52, it is not positive law, which means that it is not law. Maybe if you live in Washington, D.C., or the territories, you would have to, but it is not actual law. I wanted to say this as we're talking, because the thoughts are in my mind for any of our new listeners. If you have children or you know people with children, have them not register for the draft. have them not register. It is not a law. I've got the thing that they mail out to young people, and they do say, well, you have to do it. And one of the frequently asked questions is, what happens if I don't register? It says you may be fined, you know, so much money. You may be. That's because it isn't a law. It doesn't say you shall be.
Yeah.
And then it says you will not be able to get government grants if you don't register for the draft. Well, to hell with government grants. Anybody that's listening to this right now, if anybody you know, in fact, a friend's son was here helping me today. He's going to turn 16 very shortly. And I talked to him seriously about it. For that reason, and he said, well, I can't because I'm the last of my family line. I said, then tell all your friends, Michael. Tell all of your friends. Because, I mean, you know, we're living under commercial law, and when that young person signs that draft thing, they are held to what they are told is a contract. And yet, you have to be 21 years old to sign a contract. Don't you find that interesting, Alan?
Well, everything is chronology, con being the priest.
Yeah.
It's, that's the world we live in. It's coercion by threat, and then ultimately the use of force to back it up. And that's how the herd are managed, and always have been, really. But I think it's a sad, sad thing, you know, when you look at what they've done. I mean, they've done their best to the unisex movement that began in the 60s with the same clothing stuff, all this kind of thing that was all,
yes,
all the same. And then, of course, the American Psychological Association did a politically correct agenda and said, well, girls only play with dolls because they're taught to do it, you see. And they're really the same as guys. And this is all a big pre-planned thing done back in the early 1900s through experiments, through special schools like Bertrand Russell's, when they planned to destroy the family, destroy marriage, and all other things that they'd used, actually, up until then, for their own benefit, for a post-industrial society. And I think it was Carl Gustav Jung, the psychiatrist, who was way beyond Freud. He actually visited America in the late 40s, early 50s, and he said...
This was who, Alan?
Carl Jung.
Oh, Carl Jung, okay.
He said when the female loses her eros, you know, her natural femininity, when the female loses her eros and begins to emulate males, then that society will plummet to the ground.
Yes, you know...
And he said America was leading the charge there.
Yes. Was that they talked about that in the new age, new order of the barbarians, and this once again is for our listeners at sweetliberty.org. In the shadow government section, if you haven't read it, new order of the barbarians, and they said the exact thing that you're talking about and how they were going to take that. Did you call it eros,
mm-hmm,
from a woman? They were going to get rid of baby dolls and go to different things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in the 60s, out came the Barbies.
Yeah.
Okay, Alan, I was going to ask...
Well, Barbie is for barbarian.
Well, oh, yeah, well, thank you. The whole thing is she's a grown-up, buxom, you know, with big buns doll.
Yeah.
And she's got a boyfriend, okay? Plus, you know, all of her... whatever. The point is, little girls... This is what I wanted to ask you. Do you think the maternal instinct is a natural thing and can be taken out of a woman?
Yeah.
I think so, too. You know why? Because you see it today.
It's been written about
You see it today, Alan.
Yeah, Carl Quigley wrote about it in Tragedy and Hope. He said that after the World War II, into the early 50s, he said... Now, he's a professor who was an advisor to Prius Consulate for the U.S., a bigwig, a guy who chose Rhodes Scholars for world government to get sent to Britain. He chose Bill Clinton to go over. when they say something, you listen to their words carefully because they don't waste words.
They say what they mean and they mean what they say.
And he said an extraordinary thing happened to women, young women. He said they suddenly began to mature physically, sexually, far much quicker than ever done before. In other words, he's telling you that something extraordinary had been introduced into society.
Yes.
And it was through the inoculations, etc.
Yes.
And because of that, they would race ahead of the young males.
Well, it was also because of the hormones.
It would make them more aggressive as well.
Uh-huh.
And that's what we see.
When I go back, you know, when I was a little girl, we had baby dolls. But we didn't have a whole bunch of them.
Yeah.
I think I was in the fourth grade, and that was all I wanted for Christmas. It was a newborn baby doll. And I got that doll for Christmas. And for the next Christmas, I got a buggy for her, and Grandma made clothes for her. And that was my baby. And, you know, when my girls were little, I wanted them to play with dolls. And I got them baby dolls. And I'd go in their rooms, you know, to straighten up and whatever, and I'd find their dolls laying on the floor, you know, all tumbled. And I'd pick those dolls up, and I'd wrap them up in their little blanket and put them in their little cradle. I said, Mom, I feel like not a fool, but it's so natural to do that. That, you know, she says, it's just your maternal instinct, honey. Well, see, Jody was my firstborn, and out came the Barbie dolls. And I got her Barbie dolls because I had no clue, Alan. And no wonder she didn't want to play with baby dolls.
Yeah.
And I noticed that this happened to all the little girls. I wanted a dollhouse when I was little. I had a friend that had a dollhouse, and I would play for hours. And that was one of the first things when Jody was old enough. She wasn't interested in a dollhouse. You know? I got her little clotheslines and clothespins and little T-shirts. She played with those things because I played with them with her. But as they got older, they just weren't interested. And it is not just my two girls. It's women today, how even when they're there with their children, and I see it with my neighbors, with my friends here. Their children are almost like a nuisance to them.
Well, here's the key to it.
Alan.
They knew that, and this is true, ask anybody who's been in a war, who does a soldier cry out for when he's dying? It's not his dad.
Mama.
And you see, the motherly instinct is the counter to the male, the young male who's
uh-huh.
more aggressive.
Uh-huh.
And they had to do their best to destroy that because history primarily was taught from mother to child. And John Dewey mentioned that they'd have to eliminate this contact between the mother and the child to get racial harmony throughout the world because most history is taught truth. See, the children don't really bond with the father till they're sometimes quite high up in the teens.
Uh-huh.
And it's because the father's instinct is different from the mother's.
Well, in the past, too, it used to be this way. The mom was home taking care of the children. Dad was out earning the bacon.
But it's also easier for a child to talk to the mother.
Okay.
It's far easier for communication.
Because of her receptivity and...
Yeah.
And
a male tends not to bond so quickly until they're actually adults.
Okay.
That's when the male kicks in. Yeah.
Okay.
So they understand this and they had to destroy that. And now, of course, it was interesting, a recent survey that was done to do with universal child care that they've pushed in Canada. And they found that the vast majority of women were demanding, as their right, that the state basically pay for mandatory daycare and all the rest of it.
Yes, yes.
So there you go.
Yeah,
you're right. That bond has been severed. Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. And that was intentional. And the people who go along with it have no idea of the big sciences that are motivating them.
You know, you might want to link the New Order of Barbarians at your website. Because I'm telling you, Alan, they said it all. They even told this Dr. Richard Day, he even told how they would do it. When I started reading the first transcript, I got about, I think, a transcript of the first half of the first of three tapes that Dr. Dunnigan did. I kept gasping as I was reading it. because you could see it. You could see everything he was talking about back in 19 whatever 60 something. Today you can see it all.
Yeah.
And they did it, even to the point of people stopping buying Made in America. Oh, well, we're going to start making chintzy cars. Little things like, you know, the door handle will fall off.
Yeah.
And people will get so fed up with it, they'll start buying foreign cars.
Mm-hmm. But you see, the thing is, too, what I've never fooled myself on either. You see, I have never looked upon this system as being mine. And the one that I'm born into is being mine. I've always known that we had no say in the system.
Yeah.
The system is theirs. All they're doing is upgrading their system for a new era for the next phase of the plan.
Yeah, well, see, you came in with some very... you came in with knowings. I came in with some knowings, not the same kind you did, but because... As I've told you, that's why I believe I can relate to our listeners. I didn't see this world and this life that we live as a system, Alan. I didn't even see it as a, quote, system. It was just life, you know?
Yeah.
And,
that's what I'm saying. In all mammals, we look towards the parent for danger signals of any other creatures and so on. If the parent doesn't warn them, that mammal... will go up quite happily to its worst enemy and be eaten. Now, if your parents have been brainwashed, and most of them were, they don't know to pass it on to the child and say, look, I know the world appears this way, but here's the real story. You see, so the child grows up clueless, and it's like Lenin said, you know, there's a thousand paths that the society could take, but the public mustn't know this. They must think the one that we're born into, every generation is born into the natural development.
Yes.
So this has always been perfectly well understood. And of course religion had a big role to play down through the years in keeping this order together for this particular elite.
Well, you know, the sad thing is from things that I've learned in these past 12, 13 years and documents and writings and things that I have, there was a time in this country when people were, quote, politically involved, and they actually believed they had a say in in the government, Alan. And I saw that, you see, I saw that as I was reading those, what a shame it is today that nobody is involved, and yet those people then that were so involved contacting congressmen and interacting and da-da-da-da-da, they believed in America, as I did up until not too many years ago. And and all of the activities that they were involved in, they were supposed to be involved in it, because there has to be opposition to move the plan forward.
Right.
And the whole pathetic thing is that America itself, or not America, the U.S., was, without a doubt, was founded to do exactly what it is today.
Yeah.
And do you know what I saw? And I've got a big satellite dish, and I was going through the satellite guide. Do you know they have a movie out called, listen to this, Team America World Police,
what?
Alan. It's for children. I should watch it.
Yeah.
I really should watch it just to see. You know, you watch those kinds of movies because you want to see what they're doing. And I look at it and I say, oh, my God, and I just want nothing to do with it. But we really should watch movies like that, shouldn't we?
Yeah, they do indoctrinate us through movies into the possibility that this will come. Once you accept the possibility through fiction, you're more apt to accept it when it comes into reality.
But Team America, World Police, is here today, Alan.
Yeah, well,
it is the U.S. that is the World Police today.
That's right. Yeah. Well, at the head of NATO in 1956, he was a Frenchman, and he put a book out on this very topic. He said America has taken over as the World Police, but they will have a couple of minor wars then fail towards the end, then the universal society will kick in.
There we go.
And there'll be a universal police force. So they understood this. So that nothing happens in society,
no,
in the system without the go-ahead.
No.
They're planning.
Nothing whatsoever.
Through predictive programming, we are gradually shaped. Our minds are shaped towards what's to come next.
You want? Did you hear talking about predictive programming? Did you hear about the docudrama? I think that NBC did. It was about the bird flu.
Yeah.
Did you hear about it?
We had one here in Canada about a month or 6 weeks ago.
I wonder if it was the same one.
Uh-huh.
Well, I don't get the networks, but Jeff said that he watched about the first 5 minutes of it,
uh-huh,
downstate there, and he said he couldn't watch it. I said, you should have watched it. I would like somebody, if somebody taped it, I'd love to have a tape of it. But you know what he said in the first 5 minutes at the very beginning of the movie? There was an Arab person at an airport with a suitcase in his hand.
Huh.
And then the plague hit. And evidently this thing was billed by the network as this is ahead of the headlines. So whatever they did in this production led the American people who were watching it, led them to believe that there is going to be a plague and that there are going to be millions dying, and they're probably pushing the vaccines like a son of a gun.
They're also conditioning the public and how to respond if they ever say it's hit through stay at home, do what you're told.
Okay, did you see it or did you hear about it, Alan?
Yeah, they had a docudrama. They used real people from the UN with actors as well.
Oh, gosh.
To mix it all together to try and get this home to us and train us.
Oh, man.
Just like they trained the British public.
Well, and think about the very beginning of the movie, the hatred that they are promulgating against Arabic people, the Muslims.
Yeah.
They're at the very beginning of the movie to imprint in everybody's brain, because probably somewhere in this movie, they don't know how the thing started, the plague, but in everybody's mind, they knew because they saw that Arab at the airport, the Arab terrorist, Alan.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I know. It's pathetic what they throw in our faces, but it's also pathetic how the public swallow it subconsciously. That's the scary part.
Well, you know the real pathetic part to me? Because I'm always relating back to myself. When I may have at one time watched something like that and believed it, if I hadn't begun to learn what I began to learn. It's like I told you, Alan, during the, quote, Six-Day War.
Yeah.
I looked at the newspaper laying on the table. I saw the headlines. It was over. Israel won. And I said, isn't that cool? That little tiny country. But what's really pathetic to me are people who are told and don't hear.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's
you see, they do, and this, Brzezinski was quite right, they've trained the public that you don't have to reason things out for yourself. The media,
you'll be told,
is there to do it for you. It's there to reason for you and give you your conclusion.
We have about 30 seconds, so do a commercial for... not a commercial, but...
Yeah, well, people want to see the website, to look into cuttingthroughthematrix.com. There's lots of downloadable stuff there for free. And those who want to help out can send some education.
And you don't have to get the address because it's there at the website.
That's right.
Because we're running out of time. But folks, if you haven't, go over to the website. And of course, freeliberty.org.
If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at firstamendmentradio.com for only $45 a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25, or any single program